It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Declare your independence of me, Ernest Hancock, out in the desert of west of Phoenix, desert. And the sunset's just going down. I should get, you know, where we can do it outside. I can do that. I just, not today. But we'll go ahead and do that. You know, that's about sunset time when we talk to James. And that'd be awesome. It's beautiful out here. Well, James Corbett, the CorbettReport.com. We took a holiday break, and it's just like, damn. There's so much damn. You can't go anywhere or do anything without damn. You know, well, you know, here it is. So what we're going to do is, you know, there's some graphics up here. I'll go ahead and let those roll. But I wanted to say hello to James. Say hello, James.
Hello. And, yes, I'm just admiring and appreciating the love bus in front of the starship there.
Oh, yeah. You know, that was you didn't see that before? You know,
I didn't see those pictures anyway. I know you told me about it, but I don't remember the pictures.
We milked it. You know, that was a present for me. And then let's go back to that. Now, well, here's the love bus. Okay, this is the dome. All right. This is where, you know, we were at Starbase and we did that and everything. Oh, all right, pause. I got a story. There's a gentleman named Michael Belfore that I've talked to on a regular basis for a decade. He's a science writer. He did, you know, the mad scientist of DARPA. So, of course, if you're getting in DARPA, you got to, you know, kiss the right butts. You know, he covers NASA. He covers SpaceX. He covers, and he wrote a book called The Rocketeers. And The Rocketeers was about, you know, he was when Spaceship One first went up. And we had that sign, Spaceship One, Government Zero, you know, and a bunch of other stuff we did. And he always wondered who that was. We found out it was us, you know, and he's like going, ah, so we became friends, and every couple times a year, we'll get all updated on everything space and science and kicking ass. He scheduled for, it was New Year's Eve, end of the year, we're going to do an end of year thing, you know, space, and we're going to Mars, and it's all great, wonderful, we're all excited. And I sent him that picture of the love bus at the base of one of the starships. Well, he goes, oh, this is great. We'll talk about tomorrow. It's going to be awesome. 15 minutes before the show, he calls or he sends Donna an email. Oh, I can't go on your show and perpetuate the misinformation of blah, 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 because it had the Love Bus Liberty Tour on it. And he did what he always does is he sends it out to all of his, you know, people. Yeah, look at this. It's cool. I want to talk. Well, somebody went and looked at Love Bus Liberty Tour, saw all the signs and everything they were doing. I can't believe you would promote that, blah, 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 right? So he freaks, and I know what's going on because, you know, he and I are, we're good. So I'm just going, so he takes that, well, this is what I sent him, you know, don't cancel me, you know, that kind of crap. So I email, I go, look, when this stuff is all over, you know, no burnt bridges, you can come back, we'll talk about it, you know, and it's all good. But I, he goes, thanks for understanding, man. Because this is how they control the media. He would not have access to it. His livelihood would be done, you know? And I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. No, I think about it all the time. Because I know, I mean, there's all sorts of people that I wouldn't even think to try to get them on the program because they wouldn't because of, you know, all my associations and all the things I've talked about, whatever. It is what it is.
Yeah, but I really, we always had a good time. I really like, I didn't want to burn that bridge and go, because at the end, the last sentence, and I don't want to debate it, you know, which means don't try and convince, because that's, debating the issue wasn't even the point with him. You know, it was just, you know, like, staying with the job. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So, anyway, and then the next thing is, I'll show you real quick, do this so we can get this out of the way. And this is Starbase, and I went there a couple of times. You know, I went, and then I took Donna, and they don't like having you know, a bunch of drones, you know, going over there. They don't like that. But so here we are at the we stamp out these rods to make the geodesic dome. This is a 28-foot dome. Then we took some of the plastic that we have for signs, and we'll reuse this for signs when we take this apart. But we put it in to be a windbreak and, you know, waterproof and all that. And we started building the workshop in it for doing the, you know, the aircrete stuff and everything. There's the bus. This is out at Bob's, okay? So we're out there while he's back in Massachusetts. Then, you know, I started moving in some of my equipment and, you know, the welders. There's the graphene, you know, and that's what it looks like. And you add it. Now, this just a, you know, I went and bought the metal. That's why, you know, what I was doing before I got here, went and got metal to build a jig that white tape roll represents a bottle jack, and then it'll strap down on the insides, and it'll press up, and that rounded, so you can see the stress cracks starting to form, and that organizer there is like a postal scale, a 600-pound postal scale that we're going to do to be able to test, you know, how much the graphene makes it strong. I do a bunch of test ones. These are the cylinders, the half rounds that I'm using for the molds, and then, you know, some with reinforcement, some without, and then there's the inside of the dome, you know, and got it all lit, and yada, 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 yada. So anyway, while that scrolls, that's what it looks like at night. It's very cool, you know. So we let that scroll in the background so you guys can kind of, you know, enjoy that. There's Donna, you know, putting together the stuff, and there's some of the aircrete, and here's the newspaper. This is me at the Capitol building. I go down to the state legislature every year that we do this. It's always the week right before the second Monday in January is beginning the legislative session. So it's that week before I'll go in and say, all right, hello. So I put all this, you know, in all their mailboxes and everything, go down, it's no big deal. Go in the executive tower, you get off the elevator at the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth floor. You put five or six at the reception. Peace out. You know, pass out to the guys. Hey, Ernie, you know, some people recognize me. You know, they get these on a regular basis, whatever. This time was totally different. One, they got to check my gun because they got to check my gun because I make them check my gun. And then, you know, we go to do it. Some of the floors, the Secretary of State's office even, have to come down and escort you up. This redresser grievance, your interface with the government, the running for officer. Oh, no. It's a permission slip now. You know, I'm going, wow. You go into the House Representatives and the Senate. You go into the glass door like normal, and all of a sudden, boom, another wall of plexiglass. It takes you over to a security thing of the anal probe of whatever. They are insulating themselves from the people so much that the political process is a – it's – certainly from when I first started, is way more distant. I got a bunch of Ernie laws since the 90s or whatever. Anyway, they made it even worse on paper. Now it's a physical thing. And I'm going, this is not going to go well. I can just feel it, you know. So I don't know what interface you have with government agencies there or whatever, but here.
Well, actually, I just had my own experience here. Just the other day, I had to renew. I have permanent residence in Japan, but I've got to carry around my card that displays my permanent resident status, and that needs to be renewed every 7 years. And this is the first time I've had to renew that, because it's the first time that I've had permanent residence for 7 years. So I had to go renew that at the local government building, the immigration office here. And I was expecting, as always with Japan, it's always ridiculous bureaucracy, fill everything out in triplicate. Oh, you used the wrong color ink on this form. Right. Do it again. You know, whatever, all that kind of rigmarole. Plus, there's always, you know, you always got to pay 5,000 yen for, you know, with this form or whatever, and all this blah, 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 blah. Actually, I was surprised. This one was remarkably easy to do. It was in and out the door in 20 minutes. It was extremely easy, but going into the building, just to get into the building, you got to sign in and get this special pass and everything. And you telling me, oh yeah, they had to check my gun. I'm thinking in Japan, yeah, trying to go into the government
right,
office.
Right, that
would
work.
Trying to have a gun would be, yeah, something
well,
else.
Well, what happened, you know, here in Arizona, what they do is, the way the law is that you, yeah, here, I'll move you. Okay, the what they did is they would have a the law, the Constitution was, is that the only people that could deprive you of your firearm is a private event that they can, you know, you're guilty of trespassing. You know, it's not a gun crime. It's that, you know, you're coming to our place under these conditions and you're not doing it and you're trespassing. So then that became a big deal. You know, okay, this mall wants to do it. Screw you. We'll go to this mall. You know, or we'll say, everybody don't go shop there. And we have what was called a safe map. Second Amendment is for everyone, you know, is what we have. So a safe map was merchant awareness program, okay? So what we did is we handed the card, okay, and it had a little perforation on it and gave them the information. The other one you'd fill out and send to us, and we put them on a map and don't go shopping there. You know, it was just a boycott kind of thing. Well, that had an impact. They didn't like that, you know. So all of a sudden they wanted to be, you know, all kinds of get the legislature to do something about it. Well, one of the things was, is the government, they can't stop you from carrying firearms to the rest stop on the highway or going in. They maybe have you check it at the courts or something like that, like they do law enforcement. You know, they check their guns, you know, and stuff. So we made a big deal out of it. And it's ouch, quit it, back and forth, after years and years. Finally, we get the gun lockers so people can check their guns. So to make sure somebody's checking... The first of the year, top of the year, January, whatever, here comes Ernie to have you check his gun. I mean, well, we prefer you have that, you know, leave that in your car. Yeah, and I prefer you check it. So where we are now, okay? So then we go through that rigmarole and we get that done. I dress up nice and everything. That'd be party. So we go through that process. Then we pass out the papers and so on. Well, when we first started doing Freedom's Phoenix, when you would go in the legislature and you had the, you know, like the corral, you know, like the 4 foot high cubicles, you know, that they would have and all these computers you would see everywhere. And they wouldn't be the high ones, it'd be like these low ones that have all the staff out there in the pool, you know, doing, you would see 5, 6, 7 computers out of 20, 30 or whatever would have Freedom's Phoenix on it. Then they're like, oh, hell no, yeah, like that. So then they turned them off. You know, you can't do Freedom's Phoenix. When you're dealing with legislators or even the police department doing different things, they have to get their personal laptop to be able to access Freedom's Phoenix while you're talking to them about different stuff. You know, this is, so then we do the newspaper. Well, they don't like that either, you know. So I can feel people that think that the political solution is still available to them. It's just a facade. You know, they make it to where they can't be influenced. In fact, they pass law saying that if you're influencing them, you're intimidating a legislator and it's a felony and all this kind of crap. It's over, man. I've been, you know, especially when I went down there this, because, you know, I go through the process, you know, I pass out pay, I show another activist that we're helping, you know, pass them out and everything. Oh, this is what we do and this is how we do it. And go through the process. I'm going, and they didn't know any different, but I'm sitting there going, this is way different. They are insulating themselves from any influence of the people. And I'm going, okay, this is not going to go well, James. I don't feel good about it.
No. And I think, I mean, to a certain extent, what we're seeing is just the first rollout of the early stages of the biosecurity / homeland security grid. Because I keep stressing, of course, the biosecurity is for 2020, 2021, 2022 is the new governance paradigm, but it's not like they're getting rid of the homeland security paradigm. And as you know, it was just yesterday or 2 days ago, I saw the headline that I think it's the DOJ is starting a new internal, whatever they call it, domestic terrorism unit,
yeah,
or something along those, yeah, lines, right? So this is where it's going, and they're going to roll it out. Of course, this is about putting those layers of insulation between the puppet political class and the hoi polloi, because, oh my God, you might come and storm the Capitol building, right?
Especially after this January 6th thing. We
exactly
went through this after 9/11. Donna, yeah, we had our pizza restaurant. You know, I wouldn't mail in the sales tax money. You know, we would go and hand deliver it. So I got they got it that much less time. I mean, you had a deadline date, and that was a Wednesday or whatever it was Donna would do at the end of the month, the last Wednesday of the month. She'd go get her hair done. She'd go do it. It's a Donna day. Well, she would take the money and go and, you know, pay the taxes, you know, submit whatever the hell. So being a real estate agent, you know, she's an attractive, you know, real estate agent out there, and they started having rapes and murders of, you know, yeah, I want to see this vacant home out in the middle of something, and you're mine. I go, guess what? You're carrying a gun. Okay, this is the way that's going to be. So she has it in her purse. Well, going in to pay your taxes, not a thing. Before 9/11, you know, they went all stupid in early 2000s. She'd just go in, you know, be in her purse or whatever, pay tax, walk out. We're all good, right? Then, oh, no, got to have metal detectors, and they got to stop them. Well, the Speaker of the House, a guy named Mark Killian, became the director of the Arizona Department of Revenue, you know, like the state IRS thing. Well, then it became, nope, you can't have the guns and so on. You had to check, all right, fine, check them. Then they go, nah, we don't want to check them. Now you got to go, you know, 400 yards over to the state capitol, have the Capitol Police check it, and then you can do it there, and then you go get it. I'm going, really? Well, that's what started this, and I did a lawsuit, went to the state Supreme Court and all that kind of stuff, because I'm like, the law says, and you some bit, I'm just so sick of you guys just violating the law because you can't. Well, guess what? Here we go. So that where, you know, that came in. Well, what happened, the campaign was, oh, the Killian Fields, because his name was Killian, you know, the Killing Fields, right? So we just had all memes and art, and oh, man, oh, it was ugly. And finally, they're like, make it stop, you know? So that's why I'm so adamant about making them check my gun, because we made such a big deal to get them to do it, you know, so now we just make sure they do it. So anyway,
rights that are not exercised will be taken
away.
Exactly.
Yeah. So this is, you know, we, you know, saw that you've been doing your best of highlights 2021 of, you know, James. Now you're just starting to get back into it. And, you know, some of those, you know, kind of go, oh, yeah, I remember that one, you know. Okay, yeah.
So, and I got some good feedback from people, including people who were saying, you know, I'm glad you're reposting these. I got one from someone who said, I didn't really understand this episode at the time you posted it, but now I've got a few hundred more hours of research under my belt, so now I get what you're saying. And then I got other people saying, I didn't even see this the first time around. So that's made me think, actually, it really is important to remind people, I have 15 years of archives, that it's not like this is flash in the pan, this is the news of the moment, and it'll be yesterday's news tomorrow.
Timeless.
Kind of stuff. A lot of it is evergreen, so I should make more of an effort to do that. And I think I'll probably every Sunday I'll post a flashback episode to fill people in on various aspects of the agenda. So I'm always open to feedback from everyone, and of course from yourself. Episodes from the archives that you think would be worth.
You know what I'm looking at? There was one that just really hit me, and I can't remember which one it was. You know, I'm sitting here looking at them, and I go, which one was it? You know, that, you know, whatever. But the, they're timeless. So it's just, that's why I like promote, especially your documentary series, you know, your different ones. And that gets response from the newspaper, you know, because I can see the clicks, you know, on the QR codes. Right. And this is what happened. We did, I don't know how far along we were when we took the break, but we did, initially it was going to be 10,000 copies. And then, you know, I knew I needed probably 7,000, 8,000, 9,000, you know, I needed a chunk, you know, more about 6,000, 7,000, 8,000 for what I wanted to do, as we're, you know, I got some test pours to do in the aircrete thing, you know, that we were talking about. And then it takes 28 days for that to cure. During that time, now we're doing the state. We already got a bunch of stuff lined up. We get the bus out and we're going to be somebody. So as we getting ready for that, then with you promoting it, well, all the ones I needed are gone. And I'm going, wait. No,
sorry.
No. I, you know, thank you. But I go, I got to order some more. Well, after the first 10,000, 40 page with color and everything, it's only 10 cents a piece. And I'm going, $500 for another 5,000. Boom, I'm in. So we do that. Donna wound up shipping probably about 6,000, you know, of people that ordered. So that's a lot of work, I mean, you know, for her. Mm. And a lot of them are around the world, you know, out of the country too. So postage kicked the crap out of us. I didn't anticipate, I didn't put in the addendum, unless you're out of, you know, U.S., then you got to pay some real money.
I assumed it was only for U.S. I didn't even think you'd be doing worldwide. So there you go.
I didn't either, but I got nailed, so I didn't make any money. It was all postage. But anyway, so we're glad to get them out, all right? So they get out. Well, then the activists here in the state and so on, you know, they want so many stacks. I know somebody, once it started going, everybody wants them, and I'm starting to run out again. I'm going, wait. I mean, I got to get on the road here. We got to get these out. Because when we go to, like, Quartzsite, where they got 100,000 RVs out in the desert, and it's like, you know, 1,500 population there, and then they get 100,000 RVs because they got a rock and gym show thing that it's kind of like a parking swap for 3 months, you know, that kind of deal. So we always distribute a lot there. So that's probably where we were going to end there, but it looks like we're going to start there because a bunch of people are like, hey, man, you know, let's do it. So the paper, you got a chunk of them. You got a little bit, didn't you?
I got more than I can hand out to my friends here, so I'll start handing them out to random people.
Yeah, ship them, man, with your stuff.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I'll definitely put them to good use, and I was interested in the feedback you've had so far.
Oh, yeah, no, it's awesome. You know, it's we've done this a lot. We've done a lot of papers over the years, and I think the timing on this, because the other one before was like, you know, like you're saying, like, you know, it's an evergreen issue, but, you know, it's a year, five later that they go, wow, man, you know, they kind of, just like they did with your videos, they'll go, yeah, I didn't really understand it. This one is timely. Everything was on point. I don't know if you read it all, but you know, it's like, it's a page turner and you're sitting there, you're going, damn, man, they nailed this one. So this one was different. You know, the impact on this one was totally different than all the others that we've done. And it was intentional. You know, I'm going, look, we need to have, like you led on this, solutions. So I think, and that was the comments that I mostly got was, thanks, you know, I feel better, I got solutions, I'm making the shift, I'm doing whatever the heck, you know. So, yeah, it was positive. Thank you for the support that you did. It was the Corbett super bump. I don't know what they call it, the Corbett detonation or something. I mean, it's got...
sorry to RIP your inbox, but no, I'm out there. I am here to help support people who are doing things in the real world, and you are a person who is doing things in the real world, so I am there for you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, you know, there's the real world activism has to have stuff, you know, research and your documentary. That's why we had such a prominent. Well, hold up page 3 with your article and the what it looks like, you know, people haven't seen it, you know, with the ad that we did.
This is not the ideal way to do this, but hey, it's
real. No, see, there's the ad, man, boom, you know, and your article, How to Win the War on Cash, and then my article was really about what I wanted to send to the legislature. You know, it's kind of, all right, I'm back, and this is what I'm going to be focusing on. While they're doing COVID and all this other crap, I go, look, I know what this stuff is for. This is to eliminate our access to own anything, you know, and land and property rights, and you're obligated to protect my rights, and you're not going to. So, hello. You know, so we go around the state during this legislative session, and then it'll be like April before we see what kind of impact we have, because it causes consternation. They don't like it, you know.
Yeah. And this is the kind of thing it percolates, right?
Right.
It gets out there, and then who knows what life it takes on as people start reading through it. And,
you know, the big thing now, and I don't know what kind of impact you've had on this, but it seems to me that the narrative is cracking. They're starting to lose ground now.
Yeah. There are significant shifts that are taking place that we shouldn't downplay, because I guess, yeah, everyone's looking at the huge big picture and, oh, you know, it hasn't all crumbled all to pieces yet. But there's been some major shifts that I think we need to capitalize on, rather than just saying, well, that's not enough. I mean, even coming out and saying, Lena Wen and others now saying, yeah, well, cloth masks, of course they don't do anything.
Yeah,
of course. And now that's just like, you know what I mean? Whoop, now that would have gotten you literally censored off the face of social media a month or two ago. Now it's just like, yeah, of course, we never believed that.
You know, this is something I wanted to talk to you about. Do you celebrate Christmas at all? Is that a thing in the Corbett house? You know,
yes, absolutely.
You have friends come over and meals and do whatever and kind of in peace and stuff. Yeah, we have a big family, so we have a lot of people, you know, come around. I try to take my own advice. I tell people, look, man, don't be that guy. You don't get invited, you know, from Thanksgiving. You don't get invited back for Christmas because, you know, you're, I told you so. You know, you're not, you know. You know. So, yeah. And they know my thing. I mean, you know, they know where we've been, what we do.
You have brothers and sisters?
I have two sisters. You know, one a year and one 3 years younger than me. One lives in Prescott. One lives in East Valley here. So, yeah, we have family. And they have kids.
But your family isn't from Arizona, is it? You're from Pennsylvania or something.
No, Donna is.
Sorry.
And I was born in Florida. My father's side of the family, when I was 12 in the early 70s, we moved to Arizona. And my mom was Mormon. And her whole side, they're part of the, you know, the Mormon invasion, you know, the Southwest kind of thing. So I got that, you know, side of the history of whatever, you know, that going on. And, you know, like my uncle had 15 kids, you know, and he really,
right.
Mormon, you know.
And how many wives?
Not one. But, yeah, she's still beautiful, though. But you know, what happened was I have my two sisters. Yeah, each of them have, one has two, one has four kids. Then, you know, my four kids and 12 grandkids, and then all the in-laws and everything. So it's a thing, you know. I'm good. No, I'm being good. Nope, I'm not saying nothing. Christmas Eve party that we were at, one of the families, as we're leaving, you know, my son's wife's brother's wife's parents, okay? My son's wife's brother.
Yeah.
So his brother-in-law.
Yeah.
His wife's parents, okay?
Okay, right.
So they're like hunting buddies, and they go out and work. So they go, and they made the mistake. Hey, Ernie, we wanted to ask you what you thought about this PCR testing of whatever. No, everybody, my whole family, no! Don't ask him a question. No, he had his coat on. It was so, you know. So
I bet like, you didn't stop talking about just at talking about PCR.
No,
right?
I was a dick, you know. And I go, you know, bottom line, I'm wanting to leave and everything. So I'm just going, look, we've been covering this for a long time. This was all premeditated. This is all on purpose. I'm glad you kind of, you know, got that and you're getting it. But, man, the hole goes a lot deeper. Well, then what do they say? Oh, but I wanted to talk about, you know, how many times the cycle of the PCR I learned about. Instead of me just going, wow, where did you learn that? You know, what kind of impact did it have on you? Why, you know, what did you think of before when you saw that, you know, being nice and kind of bring them along? I'm going, you know, what kind of obligation do you have to family members? People, these are nice people. I'm going, look, man, it's way worse than you think. And this was on purpose. That's going to come out. Well, of course it did. It's starting to come out. You know, it's being common knowledge. So I'm not like total crazy. But that's exactly what I would tell people not to do.
Yeah.
You know, and I did it.
Well, look, I'm getting that from a lot of different people. Like, oh, you know, someone asked me and I just went off and I should have been better and all of that. Well, whatever. We can't beat ourselves up about it all the time because we are human beings too. And on the other side of it, I always stress that I think people should just act naturally. Don't strategize and, oh, what's the best way to put this? Because you don't know the person on the other side of that. Well, maybe in your case of your family.
It wasn't the way to go.
I mean, if you know your audience, of course, you can tailor your communication to them. But if you're widely disseminating, be yourself, because some people want that slap in the face of truth. Some people.
The wives didn't. It wasn't the guys so much. It was their wives. It was two, you know, older couples, you know, our age. And their wives are like, oh, man, here goes Ernie, you know. And I could tell. I'm going, yeah, maybe the guys would have been cool with this. But, you know, I try to cover and go, you know, I'm really happy that they're, you know, making a stand. Because a lot of them are. They're going, hey, I'm not doing the 14th booster. You know, I'm not. My youngest daughter out at Honeywell Aerospace, the other guys have left. And the only people that are left there in our family is my son's father-in-law, one of the guys that was there, and my youngest daughter. Well, every time they see him, you know, they don't wear the mask. They're not getting the shot. Your badge isn't going to work the next time. Tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow's the day since, like, October, okay? Tomorrow's the day. You don't have to wait. The Supreme Court ain't going to save you. I mean, we're HR. See, I got this big HR, you know. I'm human resources. I'm going to tell you what's up. I was hired to be a butthead. You know, I got power now. Woo! You know, so it's just hammered. And my daughter is like, yeah, well, you got to sign this thing. And you agree with your religious exemption that if, you know, if there's not fetal cell line being used in. Well, then you're going to have to take it. And she's going, no, I'm not signing that either. I'm not. Well, you need to sign an agreement. Nope, I'm not signing anything. You don't want me to work here. You just tell me when my last day is. You come. I won't make you. Make them make you. I want to make you fire. You have to fire me. I'm waiting on you now. Okay? This has been going on for months. And they keep amping it up. Then they move it from November to December, then to January, then to February. And they keep pushing this back. The Supreme Court doesn't go the way Biden wants. So I don't know what's going to happen. You know, but both of them, you know, father-in-law and my daughter, fire us. There's plenty of jobs out. People are begging for good workers. So go ahead, make my day. So I don't know what's going to happen, but they're definitely threatening.
Look, think of it this way. Even if they totally let up tomorrow and they came out and said, okay, it's all over, whatever, go back. Even if that happened, I mean, the societal shift is already taking place on a massive scale. So many people are leaving their jobs. Massive record levels of people in America are quitting each month. And latest survey or whatever, quarter of all Americans are planning on quitting their job this year or something like that. I mean, it's getting crazy. It truly is. And this is, I mean, I haven't gone into deep dive on this, but this is an historical cycle of pandemics that portend always massive social disruption and economic disruption and geopolitical disruption. And that is not necessarily a good thing. In fact, there may be some very bad things.
I'm not thinking all of a sudden the Enlightenment's going to hit and we're all going to be better off. But
huge changes happen. Yeah. We need to not downplay that because it's easy for us old hands to get cynical. Whatever.
We have to go through this.
Yeah.
It's freedom's phoenix. You know, that was the whole point.
Yeah.
I understood long after, I don't know, 3 months, you know, in the late 80s. I mean, it didn't take me long to see, because when you go up against them face to face and you're talking to these people, what the hell is wrong? I made a big deal out of this, trying to get you to read this one article by Brandon Smith.
Oh, right, I've got it up. I haven't read it all yet. I've got it up on my screen.
Yeah,
right
No. You got to go straight through that because it's the last sentence, man. He really pegs it, you know.
Oh, okay.
He builds you all up.
Don't spoil it for me.
No. You got to start all over. You know, you get to the last sentence. Oh, boom. Because Brandon does such a good job. Is he coming on next week, Donna? He's coming on Friday, okay?
For the benefit of the audience, we should put it on record. Is there a way to prevent psychopaths from getting into positions of power by Brandon Smith?
Right, thank you. I was going to just do that. And Brandon Smith is an anarchist. He's kind of, Larkin Rose, Markin Lowe's, you know, Larkin Rose type, and advocating whatever. But he, you know, he's a different style, and he does a really good job, and he's kind of Corbett-y, you know. He kind of, you know, gets you the information, he skips to the end, and then zangs you, you know. And he does a really good job. And when we were last summer in August, we were up at Jackalope. We just came back to Arizona, go up there, and we were at a RV place. We were dumping, getting water and so on. And the people, ooh, Love Bus Liberty Tour, what's that? Oh, we're vaccine education. Ew, you're not one of them. We're against mandates. Oh, okay, you're good then. You know, you're good. You know? So they're already done up.
Right.
Well, then they came out. They go, oh, you got to see it. And the wife went in. She came back with, it's called The Wild Bunch Dispatch, which is Brandon Smith's PDF newsletter that he does. Okay? And you print it out. And they were just, oh, this is it. Then I go, I know Brandon. I've had him on the show before. So I've been trying to get him. I can't get hold of him because I don't do Farcebook So then I go to the audience. I go, look, I put an ad for him in the paper. You saw the ad. That was the only one that I did that I didn't ask anybody, you know, or work it with him. And I go, I need to get hold of Brandon. Brandon's going to get his ass on the show. So then the guys, they went and just started bugging. Okay, shit. You know, I'll come on the show, you know. So he contacted and got worked out with Donna B on Friday. Well, this article about sociopaths and psychopaths is what Dr. Frank and I have been talking about for years. What are we up against? It's a mindset, a philosophy, an illness, an evil, what they talk about in the Bible of the bad guys. I mean, you know, this stuff.
No, Ernie. We're up against Democrats. It's all Biden is doing all of this. If we could just get Trump in power again, he'll do it better the next time.
No. So this is, He did such a good job of succinctly skipping to the end, made it clear, understand, and what has to happen. That's where we are. So I've been pimping. I go, look, publisher recommended. You want to know my thing? Brandon did it, man. I'm going to ooze all over him Friday. You know, I'm just going.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I will be listening to that interview. So
it's awesome. And I love having, you know, the ability as an aggregator and kind of what we do with Freedom's Phoenix to promote stuff like that and Corbett Report documentaries and all, because I don't have the same skills or time that you guys got. I barely freaking keep up all the crap I got to do. So I'm going, oh, I got to write an article?
Yeah. I heard you talking, was it to Mike Swadek recently?
Yeah, right.
I can't remember. And you were saying, you know, James is always on my case to be videoing everything.
Right.
I don't have time for that. So I'm going to get on your case again. You're doing the dome. You got to be videoing.
I know. See, this is my kit. This kit right here has all the cameras and everything. It has a DJI, you know, Pocket 2, blah, 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 blah. No, everybody's on my ass, but I'm doing it for you because everybody else don't, I don't care. But anyway, but the, so it needs to be done. And I did start doing it, but then I got to bring it in and edit it and put it together going, eh, get to that later. But I have a bunch of footage, the drone footage, this, over the last year, you know, a bunch of stuff. And I need
Who's the Air Creek guy that I should be interviewing? Because I want to talk about it on Solutions Watch. So who should I be following?
Well, it depends on what you're looking for. You know, Air Creek Harry was a guy out of Brooklyn that started experimenting with it. And then he said, I got it. Boom. No, he's Staten Island. He was Staten Island. And he goes, bought a place, you know, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 acres or something in Trinidad, Colorado, and just started doing it. Well, he would have classes, but he can't do classes in the winter up there, so he wants to do one here next couple of months down here in Arizona, so we'll work on that. And he learned, he did a lot of different ways, and he inflated, you know, sewn things, and then he put rebar on, and he kind of sprayed it in different kinds of inner and outer and how he wraps it and does different things. Then there's Dome Gaia. You know, this is kind of what Mike Swadek is doing. You know, he's making these bricks, and you get these certain size bricks that you kind of, you know, you pour into a mold and you kind of trim them, whatever. And then you just start mortaring, you just start building the dome, you know, out of these bricks. You got an 8-inch thick wall. Then you have other people doing different molds, and you can make like, you know, a Lego set or something like that. Where what I want to do is a little bit different. I want to make it to where it's not just for insulation. It's got some structural component to it. You can compress if it's good, but intention, it's not. You know, that's why I got the graphene. You know, this, and right before I started getting everything all done, I've been talking about this for years, and then now I'm ready to do it. That's what the dome is. It's a workshop in there. Bob Anderson, that you interviewed, he finds a article that they are just now, they got a whole graphene concrete construction consortium of, you know, freaking companies together that are doing this now. They're mass producing graphene for concrete construction, and it increases the strength over 30% with no rebar or nothing. And I'm going, see, told you, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's what, you know, my testing thing is demonstrate this, that now we can just start building molds, making bricks, making Lego sets, and it's light. You can just do it by hand and so on. Or you can go ahead and pour it in place in different molds and ribs, all kinds of stuff that we're, by May, we're going to be building them. So this is my activist thing going forward, and why my article in the paper was all about property rights. I know I can do it. Mm-hmm. Do it well, not cost a lot of money, don't have interest for a mortgage to the bankers. They can all suck it, and all I need is that you guys just leave me alone on my land. And I know you're not. So, hello.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what's
going on. I'm interested
to
see how that develops this year.
Yeah, me too, you know.
Yeah.
You know, but it, you know, does that ever appeal to you? You know, just kind of going, living Lone Prairie of I'm done?
You know, at the very least, as a secondary getaway backup location,
right?
That is what I would like to do, somewhere out in the Japanese wilderness.
You like Japan? Japan's cool. You're digging Japan?
Yeah, yeah. It's my home now. I've been here 17 years. I'm not planning on leaving. I don't think I could if I wanted to be honest, because yeah. I'm not vaxxed up. So there you go.
Well, do you dream in Japanese?
No, I don't. But I generally dream of Japan. No, actually, I dream a lot about
everybody
Canada.
Everybody wears a kimono in your dreams?
Yeah, something like that.
Well, what do you think Japan's view on all this coming? Because they didn't buy in as much as, you know, a lot of other countries did. You know,
it's surprising, isn't it? Like, I would never have, if you had told me about all of this a few years ago and said, now what countries will be, I would not have guessed Japan would be one of the least locked down, most free countries. It's bizarre. But having said that, I mean, they are on board with the agenda. It's just more of a slowly get the herd into the pen kind of thing. And so there's been a lot of fake news over the past month or two about, oh, Japan used ivermectin and now they don't have COVID and all of this kind of stuff, which is totally not true. There was a Tokyo Medical Association chief that came out last year to say we should be using ivermectin. But as far as I know, and I stand to be corrected, but as far as I know, that is still not part of the medical protocol here. So it's not part of the general treatment. And although for whatever reason, COVID did go down to basically like 5 cases a day or something in a population of 120 million people late last year, it suddenly started exploding again. And oh, look at all the US bases, all of these cases are coming up, and now it's spreading again in Tokyo. And
what's spreading again? They cured the common cold, you know. Yeah, there is no pneumonia.
Well, whatever they are diagnosing with whatever test they're using, and it gets worse, because not only have they obviously vaxxed up the population, I think they say, according to government figures, take it for what it's worth, something like 80% are now fully vaxxed. Fully vaxxed as in two, because they are just starting to do the boosters, I think, later this year. And guess what? Now they're talking about under 12-year-olds.
In Japan?
So they're getting on board with the agenda little bit by little bit.
There has to be some payoff somehow. Something's going on.
There's massive arm twisting. I don't think this is coming from any government, let alone the Japanese government. It's coming from higher levels for sure.
Oh, higher than government? There's higher than government, you tinfoil hatter?
Oh yeah, me. I'm just a crazy conspiracy. Yeah.
This is going to be, you know, we talked about this before, and I keep messing it up. I say, you know, you're saying the collaboration, the convergence, the whatever, 22. What is 22?
I said consolidation.
Consolidation.
I'm glad to see you struggle with that word. But I think there's a better word.
All right, hit
Integration.
Me.
Integration.
Integration?
Yes.
Integration.
And that's a word that Derek Rose has picked up on, John Bush.
Yeah, no, I'm behind integration. That's
integration.
Good.
Yeah, I like that because... Yeah, okay, consolidation, I get the idea. But integration, yeah, that's more what this is about. It's taking all of these elements and integrating them together so we can move forward. I like that image of that, because that really is kind of what we're doing, right? And there are the people who are in the process of integrating, and I think those people need to come together as a community, integrate, as it were. And then there's everyone else, and they'll catch up eventually. It just might be too late for them once they do.
You know, we finally worked out integration. It's easier for me to remember with all.
Yeah, there you go.
But the consolidation is kind of more like lumpy or still kind of separate.
Yeah,
integration
right.
is
yeah,
a little
yeah,
bit
yeah,
more
yeah,
entwined.
Yeah.
You know, I,
right.
I guess yeah, yeah I'm up to that. All right, integration. I will incorporate that. But I was looking for. I'm going to start interviewing some of the speakers at a Narcopoco, because a lot of times before I'd wait till after. But now I need to kind of, because I'm going to MC, we worked that out, you know, so I'm going to, you know, MC this year. So I need to know, have to say something about them, personal, kind of, you know, have good introductions and so on. So we'll start scheduling them. But the deal was, for me to do this, a friend of mine has a beach house in Rocky Point, which is Puerto Penasco on the Gulf of California, you know, or Sea of Cortez, or whatever the hell you call it, you know, south of Arizona there. You know, there's a big, giant, long bay thing. Well... I can go there, leave the car, get on a plane there, go to Acapulco, come back, and then drive across the border. For me to do this without having to get shot or a stick shoved up behind my eyeball through my nasal cavity, you know, I need to drive across the border twice, you know, and I'll do it. Well, I'm not the only one. you know, Colin Cantrell, Nexus Earth, you know, Colin Gibson from Maine, and all these guys are going, you're doing what? Well, we'll do that, you know, so we'll see what we can do. We've got a place for them. So there's a lot of people that have the same concern. So what they did, I think they got like three private jets or planes that they're doing, going from L.A., Austin, I think somewhere else, you know, to go. And they're going to, you know, they'll have whatever crowd they're going to have there. It's probably going to be smaller than, you know, some of the bigger ones. But it's televised worldwide. You know, it's a simulcast thing.
Yep, I'm interested
to see, you know, how that goes. Somebody's going to push
it. And what are the dates on that?
It's the weekend of Valentine's Day. So it's like February 14, 15, 16. It's like a week thing. You know, I'm going to be there on the 12th, and they're doing whatever, how much ayahuasca they can make you do or something, you know.
I
think I'll vote not. But, you know, the it's...
And they have the venue in place and announced and everything already?
Yeah. No, it's all... Well, one of the big things that they're doing, they're pushing, is what they did last year they had a lot of success with, and I think it was very profitable, is they have these watch parties. You know, they'll have, you know, it'll be a remote thing. And they were trying to get us to do it. And I'm just like, man, I'm getting ready to hit the road, man. You know, back in 20, in 21, I'm on the road. I can't help you, you know. But I know the guys that are helping do it. And so it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to helping. I wanted to make sure, you know, they kind of kicked it out, because they've been saying, screw you, we're going to do it anyway. Well, I'm for that. You know, I'm, you know, helping you. And you went to the first year. That's where you and I met, you know. Yeah. And we're watching cliff divers in the wind of freaking. I'm like, don't do it. You know, like these 13, 20-year-old kids diving off cliff, and it's like 8 feet deep in the swell, and the wind's blowing. And I was like, you don't have to do it, man. I'm good. You're stressing me out.
They know what they're doing.
They did it, but I was, man, here's an extra 20 because damn, you know.
Yeah.
But this worldwide, I can see the integration. You know, I can see you're going to do some kind of video that kind of demonstrates, you know, that in some way.
Potentially. I like to think that everything that I'm doing is in that direction, but maybe I need to firmly articulate that. Yeah. I don't know what you see. It's hard for me to think of. OK, so let me do a solutions watch on integration. It's like, what does that
mean? The methods.
Well, it's all of this stuff.
Yeah, of course. You know, it's like communication. What kind of new social medias have come up? Which ones have failed? Yeah. Which ones were honeypots and they brought you in? You know, the integration, you know, blockchain is being used.
Hey, speaking of Getter, did they get you?
Oh, I haven't used it, you know, but I always get the accounts. Yeah. You know, I won't be on top of every list, man. I'm just, you know, are you using Getter at all, Donna? Nah, she knows it's there, but, yeah, no, it's Trump's, you know, head guy of whatever, and Rogan, they go, yeah, I get it, you know, I just like, yeah, whatever, you know, they're all the same. But the, do they want your email? Do they want a phone number?
Yeah.
Well, you know, what's
exactly.
So,
yeah, I got back on Float just this past week. I was on there before, and I kind of abandoned it for the past year, but I'm back looking at it.
Well, I just talked to Aaron and Kingsley, and they've been, our big thing was their integration in the IPFS, you know, do that, make it easier where I could put there and then propagate from there, you know, Matt Raymer doing his thing with Safe Content.
I thought they were working on that.
Code. Well, they are, but they haven't finished anything, and which is why they didn't get promoted in the paper. And I go, I'd promote you if you had it done. You know, I go, sorry, man, you know, you didn't have it done, you know, so get it done, you know. And so what they want to do, where it talks about, they want to do an NFT for the Levolution logo. You know, and I'm going, yeah, whatever, you know, we'll talk about it. And if they get some attention, I want to give them attention, but it has to be what I need, you know, what I want. I mean, I've been, pimping this thing. You know,
I go, look, if you're
not doing this, then I can't, you know, I'd be all enthusiastic, busting ass for Float. You know,
you're going to invoke your God-given intellectual property rights and lessen until they get the IPFS sorted, and then you'll let them.
It's kind of going that way in a nice way. But, you know, so this is, but they're good people, and I like them, and they, you know, got it going on, and it's just, you know, it's always emphasis. I mean, you know, it's, you know, what they want to focus on in the technology. And the integration of these technologies, you know, use your word, is starting to happen. but it's happening for the reasons that you and I would support. It's like, look.
Well, hopefully, yeah.
Well, it has to be in compliance with the letter of Mark. I mean, you know, look, I'm not doing this until you guys do this, 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 and this. And that's starting to happen. Yeah. And at least people are putting it as a primary criteria. Because what we're doing, we're just going to walk onto another plantation, yay.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's not going
to
do us.
Yeah, I still, to this day, every few days I get, are you on Telegram? Why aren't you on Telegram? Can you join Telegram? Wait, last time I checked, they're still asking me for my phone number and everything before I join up, right? No, I don't think I'm going to. No,
Telegram,
I'm good. I'll set this one out.
Has been the only one that I actively interfaced with as a social media, because it is very good about sharing media, you know, videos and stuff and playing the downloads and graphics and so on. So it works well. But like you say, they want your phone number. And then we hit some level. I don't know what the hell it was. It came to the attention, you know, of important people or something. And all of a sudden, boom, the Russian bots hit. I mean, they're coming in 30 at a time. I mean, they want to explain it to me, you know. So I'm going, look, we got it. They go, got the solution. Problem solution, okay? They go, not a problem. You just download this bot that does battle with their bots, and you just give them control and moderate of the whatever the hell. Just it's just a adjust button. You just push that button, and you don't got to worry about it anymore, you know? Mm. And I'm going, if this isn't motivation to not, you know? So I just, so I keep, I'm on it enough now just to, I had them start, you know, start just yammering, you know, yakking. I go, look. This is not where this is. You want to start another Declare Your Independence chat thing or something, knock yourself out, and I'll support, and you can go over there and yak it. They did. All of a sudden, boom, man. It's a yakety, 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 yak. Fine. You can yak over there, you know. And but Pirate Box has got a renewed couple of developer guys. They're all excited. That's getting some more attention. You know, that's, you know, making headway. We have the paper's doing really well. And the big thing is now is I'm focused on the experimenting and the designing, and I got the 3D printer in, you know, got it from my grandson. I, you know, starting to learn CAD. I got to learn the cameras. I'm going through that. I activate, you know, finally go, I got today. Let's go do it. Videos. Oh, I'm sorry. You got to activate it. And that takes half a day, you know? And I'm going, oh my God, I bet you want my phone number, you know? So it's a pain, man. You know, you don't have
to struggle
do
is real.
You know,
we're content creators. Everyone should be crying for us.
Yes,
oh, well.
They should. They should be helping, you know. Well, what's that? I saw that you're doing, you know, Al-Qaeda piece, and you're focusing a lot of attention on that. Why? Was that something that was just burning you had to finish or something new?
Yeah.
Something. Why?
People who want more info on the sort of the why I did this, go back to my appearance on the Activation podcast from last year, where I talked about this. But ultimately, I think it is important to understand the lie of the Homeland Security state for all of these people who are just starting to wake up to what's going on right now, because there are a lot out there. And I think the parallels are too obvious. The paradigm of state of emergency governance that is obviously operative today and is being used to ramrod all this stuff through is the exact same thing that they were using 20 years ago in the terror industrial state complex, whatever, that they erected. It's the exact same trick. And I think, so that motivated me. I was actually not going to do any 9/11 anniversary stuff last year, nothing special, nothing in particular, but it was sort of just it was a moment that I had where I'm like, no, I think I need to explain this, because there are so many people who, like that person who said, oh, that first time you posted that podcast last year, I didn't get it. But then after a few months and I did some more research, suddenly I see what it's about. I think there's a lot of people that are ripe for this now. And finally, we are at the point where 9/11 really now is an historical event that can be looked at as such, rather than, you know, the pressing political trauma that has
triggered everybody all the time about everything.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
General public opinion.
But it is an important story. And part three is really going to be bringing it up to today, the whole war of terror paradigm and complex, and laying it at the doorstep of what's happening right now with this domestic terror push that they're doing right now. It's still with us. And we need to understand that. And plus, I wanted to get, I hope I can do something to move the needle of the 9/11 truth movement beyond the stuck on stupid, all people want to talk about all the time. The only thing you are allowed to talk about with regards to the incredible catalytic catastrophic events of 9/11 is the fireworks of that particular day. And everyone wants to talk about their pet theory about the fireworks. And this is what caused them. This is what did it. And if you don't believe this, you're a shill. Hey, there's at least a 40-year story, maybe a 100-year story, depending how much you want to look into this. And it's about much more than what was happening on that particular day. We need to understand that.
You know, there is a more material. I'm sure you've seen it. The Power of Nightmares, the BBC series.
I played a clip of it in part two. Yeah.
Okay. The when I went through that, that was, God, early on, early 2000s or something when they did that. There was the Century of the Self four-part series and the Power of Nightmares. I think it was a four-part, too. And that, it goes back, the CIA, from the beginning of the CIA. You know, this, you know, Mossadegh and Iran and the Middle East and, that you know, Saudi Arabia and them creating Osama bin Forgotten and, you know, doing, you know, in Afghanistan. You know, this is a product of this, and they brought it home so we'd be afeard of the Muslim man of doing whatever the hell it was.
Exactly.
So this is not a secret, you know, but you go to school, it sure as hell is. I got to tell you this. I'm sitting here, I was doing some work and so on, and it was Bob. Bob sent me one of those collages of local newscasting where they're all saying the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
And, and then they just overlap them, and they're just reading a script. Well, you know, my grandson's like, oh, what are you doing? What's that? I go, here, listen to this. And then a sister came, and I split the earbuds, you know, between them. And they're watching this. And I go, look, man, it's all planned. Can you imagine seeing that, the newscast, and it all planned? Simon, get your grandfather do that. You just happen to walk in on him, and you want to see what he's doing, and you're 10.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. What kind of, that's what my kids went through when they, their parents, when they were, you know, their age. They knew. You know, that was so awesome. I would pay big money for that to happen.
Yeah. I agree. Reminds me of when I was, I remember sitting on the couch watching the dinnertime news with my father one day. Must have been 12 years old. And they had some, I can't remember what it was now, but they had some little news segment that was all about this new product that came out, and they're talking about the product, and oh, you know, this product is, and let's get someone to talk about the product. And after that little 2-minute news segment, I just looked at my dad and said, is that news? Was that news or was that a commercial? And he just went, eh, it seems like a commercial. And from that point on, I mean, I was just always like, this isn't, like, I know this is coming from a certain perspective. So it's good to have that education.
How old are your children?
My boy is 8. My girl is 5.
Okay, I'm just going to say, the most awesome time, okay? They revere Dad. Mm-hmm. They love you long time.
I know
time.
This isn't going to last. Trust me, I know. Last. Don't tell me about the future.
It's when they start, when the chemicals start hitting their bloodstream, man.
Yeah,
12, 11, 12, 13, depending on how much plastic they consume. But, you know, it's just like, and you go, wow, well, that was good while it lasted, you know? And then, you know, but I have a good relationship. You're like, my oldest daughter, oh, man, at 17, I remember, I'll make it stop, you know. And now that they've, you know, 25, it started getting better. They get married, have kids, you know. Yeah. Now it's like
mid-30s. The older you get, the smarter your parents get.
Exactly. I'm a freaking genius now. But the so they're pretty good. You know, I wish we had a better relationship. But now they're getting a dose of theirs. When the 12-year-olds go, oh, you won't even talk to me anymore, I'm going, na-na-na-na-na, you know. So, but they have, the family's all good. We had a really good holidays, and I'm feeling comfortable about where we are. And, you know, they're friends. They know to go to them, you know, with stuff. And I go, when they come to you, don't do what I did and go, yeah, you think that's it? Well, let me tell you what's really going on, you know. And, but I don't know. What do you think about that? I mean, how much, once they're starting to be open, how much do you deluge them? I mean, you got a Corbett.
Yeah, that's getting to be the question now. Certainly my boy, 8 years old. It's like, yeah, how much do I bring to him? How much do I, you know, protect him from what's going on in the world? How much do I don't want to data dump him. So how do you do it? It is, it's an art more than a science, and I don't claim to be the world's best artist. So I'm learning it as I go.
I'm looking forward to interviewing your kids when they're 25. That'd be awesome.
I'll let them appear on screen when they're 25. Maybe.
Maybe.
I own them.
Maybe, maybe. Well, I don't have the kids, you know, come out that. But one time we were talking, they're going back and forth on the bus. So I stop. Okay, say hi to James, you know. So you kind of got a few of them. But the there is a feeling here in Arizona that it's a kind of a waiting game. You know, there's they're trying to give you the impression that 70-80% got, you know, that are vaxxed, and those other people that are causing all the problem, we got to make them, you know. Mm. And, but it's kind of shifted to where, nah, I'm kind of envious of those that didn't do it, because now it's not just a shot. It's your second, your booster, your third, your fourth, your fifth, your whatever. It's never going to stop. And then it's a tracing thing. And then it's part of your human resources. If I signed the paper to agree to whatever the hell is going on. And so it's been a lot of regret. Mm. I'm feeling the people that didn't vax, they don't have regret. The other people do. Terrible emotion.
Yeah. I get it. I do sympathize. I have not lost my sympathy for other human beings. It's very tempting to go, I told you so. But that is not going to get us very far. Everyone, look, they call them sheep as a term of derision. But as I stressed in my letter to the future a couple of years ago, I said it's a term of derision, but it actually speaks to some of the better parts of our human nature. We are trusting. We are peaceable. We can't imagine the predators that are in our midst. And that's to our credit to some extent, unless and until it means that we just willingly go into the pen and get herded up for the slaughter. So, yeah, time to wake up, sheep, unfortunately. And I don't use that term lightly, but I think we'll have to continue this next time because I got to get going.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, one more question. I want you to address this. We built up to this. How hard are you willing to go on someone you love that is just making a life-altering, major, oh my God, decision? I have a niece that just found out finally in the mid-30s that she's pregnant for the first time. Mm. Extra vaccines! Oh, yeah, we're going to load up, you know, kind of, you know what I mean? Mm. You know, what do you do? And I know how she is. She's like, no, we're not going to talk about science. I mean, you know, whatever. And I'm going, oh, this is so, I don't know what I'm willing to give up or do to have an impact. Man, I need some James advice on that one, man. What do you think? Oh,
as if I am the guru to go to on this question, I wish there was an easy solution here. I think, like everything else, the sort of the libertarian spirit or whatever you want to call it is not an all-encompassing guide to how to live your life. All it does is say what you can or cannot, what is morally permissible or impermissible to do to enforce what you want to see in the world. And so, I mean, do I think you have the right to lock your niece, did you say, in a room and not let her out until, you know, she has the baby or something? No, I don't think you have that right. But what kind of pressure should you be using to try to convince her? And what tactics? And that's the million,
you know, this
human
is,
relation.
I'm gonna let you go out on this. You know, that is the role that your documentaries play. You're never a prophet in your own land. You know.
Yeah.
But there, you know, there was a.
My wife doesn't seem to think so when I have to take the garbage out every day.
Right. You know, there was a movie, the vaccine issue, that before all this stuff started, that I pimped a lot to my kids and people. It was called Trace Amounts. And Trace Amounts is about a guy that got autism in his late 20s or something because he got a tetanus shot, and, man, it just fried him. And he had all the symptoms, and he's like, what the? And he kind of, you know, cured himself, and then he had another bout. You know, he got exposed to mercury in a broken fluorescent light, and boom, man, it just came back. He was in construction. So so he's pretty sure what happened, and he followed this. And he went through this whole process and shared it with everyone as he, you know, took the RV to the CDC and kind of went through all this discovery and cured himself. And it was so powerful that I used that to a great effect. And since then, it's been a lot of James Corbett videos, you know, because you have something for a lot of things, but it comes back to there's an intent, you know, there's a plan. And I think that's what your Al-Qaeda series is about. You want to discover their intent. You know, what is their intent? Why are they doing all this? You know, what's the goal here? You know, we can talk about that next. I'll spend more time on the integration, you know, definition, you know, and examples. I feel a video coming out from James, as long as you can, you haven't articulated some graphics and you get an idea how the integration, you know, from Gutenberg printing press to, you know, publishers, from, you know, big tech to blockchain decentralized, but this integration of the reason and the concept for the tech and not how it was used to control the integration of its, you know, flourishing intent for regular people to be able to free themselves, you know, and I think that kind of integration is what's coming. And I can kind
you're
of
just sparking
you.
Some ideas already. So
I know that's
week.
My job.
All right. Yeah. There you go. You're a catalyst.
All right. Thanks for coming on. It's good to see you again. You know, I'm excited and we'll be prepared for some integration next time. I think we'll talk about some stuff. We'll have some stuff to talk
Happy
about.
New Year. Let's keep it rolling 2022, huh?
You bet.
All right.
Happy New Year to you and your family, too. Peace, brother.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, this is, you know, it's a good relationship to have, you know, be able to talk to James. He's such a tool for waking people up that don't even know they're asleep or that they could be woke up. It's just interesting. Oh, yeah, I remember that. And then they start to take action. Just a little bit. Then the resistance they get. And then, you know, the resistance to even knowing the truth. And then, you know, it's just so many people. And it's a personality trait, obviously. Character that was either ingrained at birth in your DNA or learned or influenced. And it's worldwide. I'm going to start treating everybody like human beings. See where it goes. Hey.